Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I got something to say to Scott that I meant to say right off the top, which is, Scott, happy National Popcorn Day.
Oh, yes. I saw that today. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So that was, big was important. I put it in my notes just because I couldn't not. I had to get that in at some point. So,
you know, I wasn't going to bring it up and, you know, try to make myself sound like Patrice Bergeron, playing through a puck to the face, which we didn't touch on, but, anyways, I'm kind of like just as tough because I haven't potting through a, popcorn belly ache tonight. So, you know,
yeah, well, you can't popcorn and pod. So everybody knows that, but no, we should probably touch on the Bergeron thing real quick, just how insane he is, because every single one of his teammates, by the way, his nose, it was already effed up, but it is just so much worse. He's got a stitch under it. He's got a bruise where you can tell the side of the puck, like, it's like almost shaped like the round of a puck on his cheek. And
it looks like in Home Alone where he gets hit by the iron, when you just have that outlined on your face.
I feel like he's at the point now where, like, the next puck to the face will probably straighten his nose out because he can't get broken anymore.
I think he needs a new nose, honestly. Like, if anyone needed a new one, it's probably him at this point. Through no fault of his own, it just keeps getting hit. And the only reason we bring it up is just give him credit, I guess, because he's played through every possible injury. And even after the game today, someone asked him, you know, why did you decide to play? When did you decide to play? He said, I told medical, if they didn't want me to play, they should say so, because they can't leave it up to me. Cause no matter what, I'm going to play. I'm always going to push to play. So unless they hold me out, I'm going to play. So it's kind of one of those things where you, in other sports, that doesn't happen, by the way. With other guys, it doesn't happen. He's just kind of one of those over the top teammates that wants to be involved in every situation. Sets a good example for other people. Not saying you should play through injuries, but and Marshawn said it too, after the Islanders game, it made me want to run through a wall. So it is a way to motivate your team, just show that you want to be there all the time.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny you bring up the if they left up to me, I'm playing type thing, because he's tied a couple times now, but like the possibility of some sort of load management, like down the stretch, and, you know, potentially resting guys on and off, or at least, you know, for a game here and there. And it's like, yeah, that's going to be fun, because you know who's not going to want to rest for a game at any point the rest of the season is literally anyone on this team. Like, none of them are going to be cool with that. So, you know, I think like they'll all accept it if Montgomery does ultimately go that route. But then the other part of that, and that I should have mentioned when we're talking about call-ups, is this team also has no cap space right now. So, and they're not accruing any because they're still using long-term IR until DeBrusk comes back. So, you know, you can't even like call up an extra body. So you could only rest like one guy at a time, because you'll have your 13th forward or your 7th defenseman on the roster. But unless they can free up some money before the trade deadline in terms of cap space, like, they're not going to be able to be calling guys up, you know, every couple games just to get them a game, rest someone type thing.
Yeah, he's a warrior. Guys, you know, there was never a doubt. My only concern when I saw that happen was I thought it was a stick from Kyle Clutterbuck. Casey Cizikas. So I thought maybe the way Bergeron reacted, like it was an eye injury, and that's when it gets real scary.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Like I couldn't tell, you couldn't tell exactly what he was covering with his glove, but I did think it was the puck. Like I thought it was the shot, but I was like, oh God, did the puck somehow get up under his visor?
Yeah.
Fortunately, you know, it looks like got him just below that.
And I think if you ask any player, they would rather get hit with a stick in the face than a puck in the face. Like it weirdly took like a redirect off someone's leg, maybe stick came up higher, like deflected up towards his face. And even with that deflection, it didn't really slow down all that much. So he got hit with the brunt of it. But I think now's a good time to switch over to a little bit of Pastrnak stuff, just because we had Rich Keefe come out with an updated report that kind of built off his last one about where negotiations stand. And unless you guys have anything else to say, I'll just kind of like recap some of the stuff that we talked about on the Rich Keefe show the other day and then get you guys to weigh in on it.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. So I talked to Keefe before the show, he gave me a little bit more information than I could really say. But like to go over what he went on the record to say on his show, there's a little bit of new information about what the Bruins' original offer was. So Keefe's source told him that the Bruins' original offer was $9 million a year to start the season. And that wasn't really close to what Pastrnak was looking for. And then it was Pastrnak's side and JP Barry, his agent, who proposed the 8-year, $88 million contract. And the reason why Keefe originally reported that the deal was done was because Pastrnak's side offered that and the Bruins side and Sweeney accepted it. So originally it looks like that's a deal that's, you know, everybody's agreed to those terms. And then where things got off of that, where it seemed like this was imminent, and that's why Keefe tweeted out the report. What changed was, according to the source that Keefe talked to, Pastrnak's side, most likely his agent, I really don't think Pastrnak himself would do this, upped the price to north of $11 million a year, looking at like 11.25 or 11.5. instead of the agreed upon like 8 years, $11 million for $88 million total. So there was, according to this, a change after the original agreement to try to get more money. And I don't think that's something Pastrnak would do. It seems like a move by an agent that wants to get a higher commission. And that was the sense that Keefe got as well. But I want to get your opinion on that. And also, just, you know, it seems like at the very least we can tell, like we can extrapolate that he wants to be here. And they were so close that like the intention has been to sign, where that was something that was a variable we didn't necessarily know the answer to. Now we can see that it was attempted, if this is this reporting is, you know, the source is correct, that he's right there and wanting to be here.
So
Scott, before you go, can you expound upon Bridget's numbers with Keith? In addition to that, wasn't there an Elliot Friedman report, something about 10.75 too?
I think that was Dreger. Yeah. So I was just going to mention that. Like, so my opinion on this is I am taking everyone's numbers with a grain of salt, or a lot of salt at this point, because they're just too all over the place. And like Keefe's numbers make sense. Like that's been my guess for where it ends up, is 8 by 11 a year. But then you have Dreger saying he thinks the number is going to be 10.75. I'd heard somewhere, just kind of like whispers, that someone had said they thought the Bruins are offered over $11 million a year, which like we haven't heard anywhere else. So like it's I don't know.
I think the Bruins will accept over $11 million a year. I think they will, if the current offer is 11.25 or 11.5, I think they still accept that.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not even going to try to guess, because I just think too many people are in different wavelengths here and throwing out different numbers that, you know, I don't know which one is true, or if any of them are, they may very well just still be negotiating. I think the one thing to me that does seem kind of clear, and it, you know, maybe Rich is right. Like I've said it from the start, I don't think Rich just makes stuff up. I think he does have a pretty good source and, you know, probably trust that source. But we have heard on the record that there's been progress in the last couple of weeks. And his agent has said that. You had Elliot Friedman say that. So that's like the one thing that I actually feel confident about, is that there's been progress and the two sides have gotten closer now.
Well, yeah, think about it.
There was also some sort of last minute change that keeps suggesting where one, you know, Pasternak's side tried to up it. I don't know, but it definitely seems like they're closer now than they were a month ago. That seems fair to say. So
yeah,
I guess my overarching takeaway is that at least is encouraging. And as far as all the numbers that are getting thrown around, I don't want to say I'm ignoring them. I'm not doing that, but I'm just taking all of it with a lot of salt.
Well, and if you think about it, like, yeah, they have gotten closer. If the original number was nine, if they're originally $2 million apart, say, and now they're only 0.5 or 0.25 apart. So, you know, that is progress. That is closer to a deal.
If he signs for 10.75, I would be absolutely blown away, because I just don't see a world where he doesn't sign for at least 11. I don't see it. Well, let me clarify. He's worth minimum 11 based off of the production that he does in this league and comparables around the league. What does Artemi Panarin make, Scott? 11.6? 11.5?
Yeah, I would have to look it up. But yeah, I mean, that sounds right.
Pasternak is, and this is not me being biased, he's a better scorer than Artemi Panarin. I mean, he has like 20-something more points than him this year, and I'm sure that their points before this year were pretty comparable. So if he were to sign for almost $1 million less than what Panarin's making on his current deal, then that would be the biggest favor in the world to the Boston Bruins. Now, is David Pasternak such a good person where he understands that the Bruins' ability to remain competitive long term is for him to take a bit of a discount, that he'll take that much of a discount? Yeah, maybe he is that good of a person, because he also realizes that in addition to the money, that if he values competitiveness, then that'll help the team be competitive, then that's great. But I just think if you're out there, if I still think, like, even if they sign up for like 11, I still think that's a bit of a discount. But I don't know. I guess, like Scott said, like, it's kind of senseless because there's being thrown around. But good news, like you guys said, is that progress is being made.
Progress, yeah, if you're Canadian. But to the point about you know, taking a discount to be competitive, it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if that is something that's being considered. Because you think about why this team's doing so good this year, and it's because they've got guys on here for a discount that you would have to pay, you know, millions more somewhere else. And he wants to win. He doesn't want to play for a team where he's the only good player, or, you know, they have half a team that's decent and they're missing depth, because of the fact that he's on this contract. However, he is easily worth the 11. The Bruins would be dumb to not agree to 11.25 or 11.5 because he's worth it. Obviously they have to go back and look at the numbers. If you're going to change the numbers, you know, after you think you have something agreed upon, you do have to look at what that does for the cap, what that does change what you can do. Even if it's just a little bit, you got to look at it. So it's interesting to think, because if it's true and originally he wanted 11 million, the fact that an extra bit at the end is being tacked on feels like it's not coming from Pastrnak. Cause I would think he would want to take what he thinks he deserves, but not more, because he would want to be competitive. That's just how hockey players are. It's not how basketball is. It's not how other sports are, but especially it's kind of part of the Bruins culture to do that. So I wouldn't be surprised if there is a little bit of disconnect, maybe with what Pastrnak wants and what the agent's pushing for, and just maybe a little bit of that. We're not 100% sure, and it will always be pushed back by JP Barry, whatever report comes out that would say or suggest anything like that. So he pushed back on Keefe's original report, and then a few weeks later confirmed that they were closer. So who knows? Agents, you also have to take what agents say lightly, and not read into, or not take them like 100% seriously, because they're, at the end of the day, they're still working on getting them the money. So
yeah, I don't think the question is whether or not Pastrnak will take a discount. I think he will. I just think the question is how much, right? Like I said, I think if you're looking at his value, Pastrnak is worth, I mean, you could argue he's worth 12, right? So if he would take 11, that's a discount, right? 10.75 will be best case scenario for the Bruins. So he is an all-star. We knew that already, but technically he wasn't named to the all-star because Linus Ullmark was the Bruins representative. Each team has to have one, and there's no denying Allmark's an all-star this year, but Pastrnak did get in along with Austin Matthews and Andre Vasilevsky as Atlantic Division fan vote-ins. You guys looking forward to seeing Pasta in those beautiful 2023 all-star jerseys, bit of a throwback?
Yeah. And like, you know, I feel like the all-star game at this point in the skills competition for me, it's like, if I'm around, I'll watch it. I'm not going out of my way to watch it. To me, it just feels like being named an all-star doesn't really mean a heck of a whole lot anymore, just because I think they've watered it down. Like, needing to have one player from each team is really silly. You end up with Nick Suzuki going because Montreal has to have someone, and meanwhile, Stamkos isn't there, and Rasmus Dahlin isn't there, and Hampus Lindholm's not there.
Yeah,
Bergeron's not there. Like, it's just like, okay, that there's four guys from the division who are very clearly better players than Nick Suzuki. I also feel like the NHL has just decided that defense isn't a position that deserves to go to the All-Star game. The Atlantic Division does not have a single defenseman on it. 9 forwards, two goalies. Like, I don't know. It's just weird.
I dislike the format that they've gone to. Like, I used to watch it and actually be super interested in it back when you got to see like Crosby and Ovechkin play together, and like it was actually 5-on-5 hockey, and there was, you know, it wasn't 3-on-3, and there was, it just felt more like what it was in my mind supposed to be like, which is you get a super team from, you know, from each conference, you put it together, and you put who's best in there, not, you know, participation trophy for some of the teams that don't have anyone that's worth sending. So that's what it's supposed to be. That's not what it is.
Yeah. I mean, I think all major sports have a tough time garnering interest in their all-star games, but if the idea is to sell, you know, all-star jerseys and sell tickets and then let the players go off for a few weeks, that's fine. If your goal is to make the game matter and have all the best players there, then in my opinion, what they should do to fix it is unlimited all-stars per team. And you get rid of the, this little 3-on-3 thing they have. Go back to a 5-on-5 game, East versus West, but the caveat is that the winning team gets home ice advantage in the Stanley Cup Finals. So a little page out of MLB's book. But
I don't think that will ever happen because it's too important. And if you got like, you could have a goalie just like be like, I'm just trying to rest or some shit. And just like, you know,
I mean, here's my thing is, I don't even hate like the switch to 3-on-3 or whatever, trying to make it more entertaining because
I do. It's not real.
Unlike you, Bridget, I don't have fond memories of the 5-on-5 All-Star game. I thought that's
not 3-on-3 hockey is not real hockey. So what
neither
are we
was
watching?
5-on-5 All-Star game. There was no defense.
Whoa, you got
like 11-9 games.
No, Scott, you just said there's no even defensemen in the 3-on-3. So who's playing less defense? Which one? I didn't know we were gonna have a fight over the All-Star game.
I'm saying it sucks no matter what. It has sucked my entire life.
All right. Order in the court.
Sorry,
wait. I'm guessing Brian was just intending for this to be a passion segment.
Order in the court. I kind of was, actually. By the way, Scott, the 1996 All-Star game was phenomenal. If you go back on YouTube and watch that game and watch the representatives on the blue line when they called out the players, and then the way Bork won that game was pretty sick. But also, I'm not saying that they should make it home ice advantage on the line. I'm only saying like they actually care about making the game matter. Then that's, you have to do something like that. Obviously, I don't want home ice advantage coming down to an All-Star game, but Major League Baseball had no issue doing that, which I always found interesting. But yeah, I don't know if they still do that.
Even they eventually got rid of it because they realized that was a joke too.
Yeah. Okay, guys, I think I'm out of gas. I'm overheating in the room that I'm currently in.
Me too. We're not in the same place, but all of a sudden I am
sweating bullets right now. I feel like I'm in hell in Dante's Inferno or something. But you guys have anything else to go over here?
That's what happens when we just start unexpectedly launching an All-Star game hot takes.
Yeah, just got heated real quick there.
I mean, I will say, whether you like the All-Star games or not, they are most certainly at an all-time low right now. You got one guy per team, and it's 3-on-3 format. Nobody cares. To Scott, to your point, nobody cares. Like, it used to be cool with the, you know, when Ray Bourque did the 4-for-4, it was special. When Chara used to go like 108 miles an hour, 111, it was special. Now these guys, they're all wearing capes and they're wearing disguises on breakaways. It's yeah, I'm all set. You know, but anyway,
except for the jerseys, you liked the jerseys.
Those are great. Those are great. I do like them.
They're like the neon.
The colors may be a little vibrant for some people, but I think they're pretty cool. It's kind of a 90s throwback. I'm trying to pull up their. Okay, so the Bruins are off till Sunday. They got the Sharks on Sunday, so some days off here after the back to back. I imagine that we'll either talk after that game or maybe Monday morning, or I think they play the Canadians for the first time in 10 years too next week. So
yeah,
maybe we'll talk after that game instead.
Yeah, Scott and I aren't making the trip.
No,
it's a little too cold this time of year to head up to watch a game against a Montreal Canadiens team that's not going to be, well, I mean, I guess we could be surprised, but like theoretically, it's not the caliber game that you want to travel all the way to Montreal for. So, maybe next year we'll get them, right, Scott? Maybe if they play in April, or actually they are playing in April against it, but it's the last game of the season. And as we know, usually nobody plays that game. So neither of them made sense for us to travel there this year, which is a bummer because I love going to Montreal and I did want to get to cover a game at the Bell Center, but next year.
Bridget, Scott, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you two the last hour plus, but I think it's time to hit the road, Jack. So thank you all for listening. Enjoy your weekend, and we will talk to you soon.